Hello and welcome, fellow awesomeologists to Awesomeology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben. And in this episode, we are ready to wrap up this special series for now by talking about it, what we learned this year, and what we think 2025 will look like. What we think it'll look like.
What we think it'll look like. Just our best
emphasis
guess.
Emphasis on the best guess part right. of that sentence. Yeah.
Right. So the series that we are wrapping up, if you have not been following along, boy, do you have a treat. Because you get to hear everything about this. And this series was intended to help us as we were going through and writing our book, that book about purpose. And it did a lot of good. But if we are wrapping up the series today, Ben, we're wrapping up the series. What does that mean for that project? What's happening with that project? She says, already knowing the answer to this.
Yeah, right. Right. I think collaboratively decided that we'd give ourselves some grace and say it's okay that the book's not done by the end of the year. We had a whole lot of priorities pop up throughout the year that meant we had to kind of, you know, shift priorities, which, mm-hmm. you know, we had to do what we had to do. And I think we made the best decision for ourselves, for our peace of mind, for the business. And also like being where we're at now, starting to kind of reflect on the whole year. And this is not an excuse at all, just an observation. It's actually kind of bonkers to think that we had a 1 year goal for writing a book in place in the first place. Like,
right.
Especially with some hindsight and talking to some people that have written and hearing that it's taken them years mm-hmm. To crank out a book. So like, you know, that does make me feel better about our decision. Not that I mean, you know, it's just always tough to like choose to delay anything, especially something you're passionate about and has a lot right. of your mind and sweat into it and everything. But it really was what was best. But the question is, what does that mean for that project? So if you haven't picked up what I'm putting down so far, it's delayed. It will not happen before December 31st. But we do have so much good momentum and so much good right. stuff. It's really just writing, putting some thought into and writing those last sections that either we've gotten a start on or haven't. Mm-hmm. And then once we get that first draft, then it'll be doing all of the things that we need to experience yet, probably need to learn about yet, mm-hmm. Starting the editing process and all that good stuff too. So, long story short, it's still in the works and we're still super excited to be working on it. And we don't want everyone's experience that's been along with us on this journey to stop either. So when the time comes, we'll provide some relevant updates, let people know where we're at, how things are going, maybe some new lessons learned, and be on our way.
Yeah. I think it's important to point out when you use the word delayed, that is in maybe multiple sets of air quotes, because yeah, right. exactly to your point, it is quote unquote delayed. Based on an arbitrary amount of time that we assigned ourselves, mm-hmm. Knowing that when we don't assign ourselves an amount of time, we are very likely to let other things get in the way and not accomplish a task. So
right.
it is quote unquote delayed, but yeah. is it? Is it really?
Right.
Or is it yeah. right on time?
Right.
You know, Wizard yeah. never arrives early or late, Ben. He arrives exactly when he intends to. And yeah. I think that's the same with a book. I hope.
For sure. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I think similar to our mindset of content being as long as it needs to be, mm-hmm. including this book, you know, no one assigned us a specific length. No one assigned us a due date on this. So it'll be what it will need to be for it to be well done and thoughtful and not get in the way of other priorities that we have, which in a growing business with new clients popping up all the time and new work popping up all the time, like this is like so much of the rest of our work. We just have to stay agile with it, you know?
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah. It's all very okay.
Yeah.
Is a thing we tell ourselves.
Yeah. We should acknowledge the feeling with what you just said, you know, we tell ourselves it's okay. And I believe it and I mean it, like it is okay. But also, like, that does bring some stress to know that we've intentionally made a choice to go beyond an initial deadline that we gave ourselves, as arbitrary as it might be, you know. So I think the trick for us, or, you know, something that we'll just have to be mindful of, is that it doesn't taint our experience or, you know, bring down the good vibes and the positive experience that this really has been,
right,
to work on this project together, to have some really deep, thoughtful conversations, and also kind of like rejuvenate some conversations that we've had over the years, and definitely formalize them into content that will be helpful to us, will hopefully be helpful to other people, if not only our team, but you know, others that might be interacting with this stuff. So we have to keep the good vibes of all that, even though, yeah, the idea of us, you know, missing our own self-assigned deadline doesn't feel awesome all the time.
Right. Right. But I think I had a tremendous amount of relief when we agreed on that, though.
Right.
Because I didn't want to rush out something that was subpar, not thoughtful. You know, even if we said, well, this is just the first draft, we can make it better. I didn't want to have that experience.
Yeah. But, and, you know, before we had kind of that mindful check in, or, you know, made that decision to just like be at peace with the end of the year not happening, and I don't know, maybe this was the reason for that conversation. Even if we would have put our nose down and cranked it out, like, I think the most that we would have been able to crank out would have been that first draft, or, you know, like the first thing to be reviewed, edited. So, like, best case scenario, and I don't even know if this is possible, but best case scenario, we would have maybe had something written, but not edited, or maybe a first edit or something by the end of the year. Would have anything have been published, you know, just because of the time that it takes to do that kind of stuff? Like, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
So if we weren't going to hit that, then, like, why go through the stress of rushing? And also, why impact the quality of the output by rushing, which is totally a thing that would have happened, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, and kind of a nice segue into, you know, the next question to get out there is, what was the benefit of doing it the way that we did it, you know, by, I mean, both like the writing process and everything, but even like this mutual, and I do feel like it was a really mutual, like, collaborative decision to just, like, be at peace with the delay, right? Mm-hmm. I think I started the conversation, but like you said, it kind of brought you some peace. So my guess is it was something that was probably on your mind before I brought it up. But so yeah, I think one benefit, and I guess maybe to be determined, because we haven't seen the final form of the book yet, but I think the book would be better because of it.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree that it opened up a part of our ability to write it without the stress of feeling like we had to really kill a deadline that, especially since it was arbitrary, could have hurt what we were doing. I think that there were a lot of things this is the time. Let's brag on ourselves. There are a lot of things I think that we did right over the year, course of the year, and working on this project. I think deciding to quote unquote delay it was 100% the right decision. Mm-hmm. I think I feel good. You know, sometimes I think we've talked about this on the podcast before. If we haven't, we should, in the honor of being completely transparent. Sometimes we have headed into something with this head of steam and a lot of excitement, and we wear ourselves down and before we have a finished product. And we have had plenty of things that sort of died on the vine. And it very well could have been right that they died where they were, you know? Mm-hmm. But I didn't want this to be one of them. And I believe we were responsible with our check-ins. We talked frequently about it. We worked frequently on it. Mm-hmm. Of course, you always want more time.
Yeah. Right.
And you want the ability to, maybe more so than more time, because as we've discussed, we possess the magical ability to make time. maybe more so than more time. What I would have wanted is the ability to sort of mentally clean house so I could focus just on that work.
Yeah.
But you can't, I think that we have a unique challenge here. This is just a guess, this being my first experience, but working on a book that is also part of our work context, we stay in that place of work when we're working on the book. So it is different than maybe someone who is working on, I don't know, if we were writing a mystery book and writing it off, you know, off work time, we'd be able to say, this isn't work time. Right. I'm going to work on this thing and I'm focusing on, you know, whatever. But being as it is a work thing that we are doing on work time, I think that makes it a lot easier to blur those lines and say, well, I'm at work, I'm getting paid for what I'm doing, so I'll stop and, you know, check these emails, or I'll take that phone call, or I'll do this other thing.
Yeah.
Just real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. I think another, related to everything you just said, I think another thing that we did the right way that's going to provide a benefit to the book is we changed the way that we were writing it. You know, one, for helping us stay on track and making some progress. Something that we learned early on was it was easy to kind of like snooze the task, you know, or, mm-hmm. You know, not give it healthy enough chunks of time to actually create some progress, you know. Early on in the process, I would find some little pockets of time to help enhance an outline or do that, you know, really initial chunk of writing, but it was just too little, too few and far between, you know, any number of factors that was proving like, yeah, this isn't how this is going to wind up working. So one of the first changes we made was just to set some healthy chunks of time, longer chunks of time where you and I got together, could bounce questions off of each other and work in silence for an hour. So, mm-hmm. You know, we were there if we needed each other, but also like we knew this is what that time is. So we kind of created the experience of like writing the mystery thriller, mm-hmm. where, you know, it's like check out of our normal job and do this other job. I think it really helped. And we'll have to do more of that.
Yeah.
And we got some booked, which is great. Mm.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's been tough. It's been tough the last couple of months to get that time. But
yeah,
we also knew, you know, we were very clear eyed. Speaking of things we're great at, I think we were extremely clear eyed about what that could look like and being able to. And I very often when we end up being most flexible, I find that I have to give you most of the credit for that because you tend to be much more mindful about remaining flexible. I tend to be more inflexible. So I think that we have remained really flexible and yet been able to stay sort of mindful about it. So not flexible to the mm-hmm. point of bending over backwards and making it disappear.
Yeah. But,
you know, being able to say, yes, we can move this one or cancel this one, but mm-hmm. we got to keep momentum. And
yeah, slippery slope there for sure, because flexible can easily translate into undisciplined. And I think another thing that we have going for us is just our personality types, the yin and yang that we kind of have sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, our everything you just said is proof of that for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what would you have changed about the whole process? What would you have done differently?
Would have learned all of those lessons without having to go through the learning phase. Yeah, all that.
Just known it going just in.
Just known.
Been yeah, born known knowing how to do this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, I do think, as much as I appreciated our flexibility and was aware, I think, relatively aware of like what we needed. I do kind of wish that we would have stuck to a few more meetings, or I say all of this because I'm pretty confident that there were probably some things that I identified, speaking for myself, but probably also for you, that you know, were a priority and meant, oh, we need to bump this book time, or we don't have anything to talk about or work on right now. Whereas if we would have gotten together, we would have totally found something to talk about or work on, you know, if we would have just kept the time. So I'm sure that there were opportunities for us to delegate something or tell somebody else no, or not right now, you know, like, hey, I need to do this other priority, this other thing that I have. So that thing that wound up probably getting the priority throughout the year, could have been the thing that got bumped or done a different way or done by somebody else altogether, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how do you do all that while also staying open to flexibility and all that stuff? Like, yeah, maybe it's a fuzzy line, but I'm willing to bet that there's some things that we could have done a little differently to be a little further ahead of where we are right now. And I say all of that 100% at peace with where we are right now.
Right. Right. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had the experience? You've been sort of working in a semi-independent way for quite a lot of years, right? Where you can make the choice about what is the next thing. Now, the next thing you do, and I'm talking specifically in your day to day, not job wise, but also that. And when you work that way, to be able to work relatively independently, make the choice of, you know, what's my next priority. I think one of the mistakes we can make is prioritizing related to ego, both in sort of good way, negative ways and in positive ways. I think what I more often do is prioritize poorly, because I think, well, but this isn't really benefiting someone else. This thing I want to do, using the book here as the example, I could tell that person no or not yet, but I am not improving the community with what I'm doing. This is an ego-driven decision. So I will go with community over ego right now. Right or wrong. So the question is, have you had that same experience where you've maybe said, oh, well, I could be helping do something else, or I could be solving a problem. And maybe failed to justify doing what you could have been doing.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, has that happened? If that's the question,
yes.
Yes. Yes is the answer.
Okay.
And I think it happens at home too.
Ooh. Say more words. You
know, well, just I could mow the lawn because I know that I like how the lawn looks and it'll make me happy to have it mowed. But I also know that if it doesn't get mowed, other people here won't notice and everything's going to be fine. And instead of me spending that hour mowing the lawn, I could do something that would help the other people that live here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing happens at work. I think it's similar enough to what you're describing, right?
Yeah.
All that said, if everything else or if other stuff that I'm doing suffers because what's on my mind the whole time is, I just wish I mowed the lawn, then maybe I should have mowed the lawn, you know?
Right.
And so I think, and while they may not have as high of a priority or appreciation for it, I feel like I'm calling out my wife here. Not at all my intention or anything. I mean, even my kids and neighbors, the delivery person, whatever. They appreciate it when they see it, you know, like it looks pretty, whether they prioritize it or think about it as often and consciously as I do. Like same thing, right? Like the book is something that could benefit people as well. They just don't know it yet or don't know it because they haven't seen it or read it or whatever. So if we continue to ignore that, we're taking away that potential benefit to them. And we're also messing with our, you know, peace of mind and feeling of purpose and accomplishment and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a leaky faucet that just needs to get fixed before the lawn gets mowed. You know what I mean? So let's just stick in this analogy here about my lawn.
Right. But it's really, you're thinking a lot about your lawn today.
Yeah. Well, it's probably just because it's snowing out. I miss it. It's my lawn.
So sad. Complete sidebar. Do you have to keep your lawn a certain length?
No.
Do they have a mowing requirement where you are? Because you're outside the city.
Yeah. I'm outside of the city. I'm in a little township. I could let my lawn totally go and no one would bother me.
Yeah.
So it's all for me.
Okay. Well, but so that's the excuse I use when I have to make that because I'm in the city.
Yeah.
And there is a requirement. And if you don't mow it on time, then you pay a fine and they mow with the big tractor thing. Like the first, I don't know how many feet of right away from the road. And I do not want that because they just come and right across. Right. And and no, thank you. Okay. Yeah, let's talk more about our lawns.
Well, yeah. What would you have changed about the process?
I think the thing that came to mind thinking about this question was I just personally wish maybe two things. I wish I had taken more time because I love to write. This should have been a thing that I made any darn excuse to do because I love to do it. And you know, some of the writing has been really hard. Some of it has come really easily. It's a real mixed bag, but overall the bulk of that would have increased my personal satisfaction with doing this, right? I would have just spent more time being happy because I worked on it. So I would change that. And something moving forward that I think I have to change is to find ways for you and I to connect on it. How do I describe that better? Because that was a bad description. To be able to say, because I feel like every time we come to talk about the project, I have, you know, thank heavens we have scheduled check-ins because my object permanence for this project is bad. So we come to a check-in. If I do not go and look and physically lay my eyes on whatever says it's edited the most recently, I cannot tell you the last thing I wrote, where it was, what, you know, because it's all, we've been doing it all sort of in different order and whatever has come to us is where we've been working. And there are things that we need to connect and refine and make sure, you know, especially now that we are starting to have big chunks of things completed, we have to get it all. We have to make it all into a book now.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the last year, when I have been stopped up by what should happen, where should we go? It has not been opportune to come like just barge into your office and say, Ben, I don't know what the heck, you know, I don't know what the next thing is. We need to figure out this next thing so that we so that I can move on. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Not to say that I should be barging into, I should be barging into your office more, but, yeah. But I'm not. And I think what's happening is I get to that point where I know I can't move on. And I say, well, that's okay. I'll stop for today. And then by the time I come back to him, like, here's this thing that I forgot that I can't move on unless we deal with it, you know? So.
Yeah. I think something that would help with what you're talking about, and I think is another change, that I, you know, wish we had agreed to do earlier on. And this is tough to even propose thinking back of how busy this year's been, but I think more regular check-ins, like maybe even weekly, like in a decent chunk of time set aside for it, knowing how flexible we can still be with that. But there have been plenty of times throughout the year where like I've read something or found something or experienced something that like would have inspired some kind of writing or even, you know, to take that inspiration or that note or that thing that I saved and just go one step further with it to like capture like why this is interesting or where I think it fits in the book or whatever, would have helped create some additional progress throughout the year. Because there have been moments like that where I've like saved a thing in a note to like, oh, I need to use this for the book, or, you know, I need to reference this cool thing that I read, whatever. And then we don't actually have a check-in or a session scheduled for a couple of weeks, or we intentionally skipped one. So sometimes a month. And then all of a sudden it's like, God, why did I save this thing again? You know? Mm-hmm. So I just think like to keep things fresh in your head, how much time did we spend throughout the year? And I don't think it was like some immense amount of time, but how much time did we spend this year like refreshing ourselves on where we were at or why we were stuck on that thing or whatever? And less concerning is the time that we spent refreshing ourselves, and more concerning is the progress that we probably lost by having to do it. So I think keeping our big chunks of collaborative time is a good move for next year, so that we just have that, you know, big productive time set together. But then maybe even, I don't know, instead of a bi-weekly check-in, a weekly check-in, just to get us unstuck more often or prevent us from getting stuck at all in the first place. Yeah. Seems like a thing to try.
Yeah. You know, it does. It reminds me of this conversation that I don't know how many darn times we've had it in the time we've been working together. When did you start? 2016?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So maybe we went a full year. And then so it's been 7 years that we've been saying this to each other, that there are things we don't do enough of because we are in this mode of constant grind sometimes. So exactly what you're talking about, pausing to take an insight that I had or a thought that I had or something I learned and apply it to this thing we're working on. I think this is really similar to the conversation we've had about not celebrating wins, because we are so focused on what is the next thing I have to do. I don't have to do that. But there are, God knows, you know, before we came on, we were talking about all of the emails sitting in our inboxes. So it would be very easy to justify, rather than doing this thing that would benefit this project that we don't know what will happen with this project, and we don't know that we're going to finish a book or anybody's ever going to see this thing. But I do know that if I go and respond to this person's email, I can directly affect that person right now. So I'll choose to do the easy thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The thing that's right in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, and not the thinky thing.
Yeah. The hard thing.
The hard thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's next?
We're going to keep writing this darn book.
Darn straight.
Yeah.
And we promise to our audience that we will keep you in the loop.
Right.
When the time is right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should get on record here, as much as this is on record, that we will make opportunities for updates, because I think maybe a trap that I could see us falling into as we are, you know, we'll change a couple of things, we will maybe work more frequently, and then maybe we fall back in the same trap of not stopping to celebrate, not stopping to update, because we could respond to 10 more emails or do one more project or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we have to challenge ourselves to make sure that we're making time to do that, but, and then still do it organically in a way that makes sense, so that we are not making something up just to be able to do an update.
Right. For sure. Yes to all that.
Hey, good, good. So let's talk about what's going to happen with this podcast. Why don't you tell me, and then we'll both know.
Well, we don't know for certain yet, right, which is okay. We just know that we have this space, and we've created this rhythm for a couple of years now, where we did this special edition on the off weeks. And we might do something like that. We might just do a more regular version of our quote unquote normal episodes, where we pick a interesting topic or timely relevant thing to chat about, or have an awesome guest. Might just do that more often, or depending on what we decide, what some research tells us, what we might learn from our audience or potential audience, we maybe do something all together different. We'll see. Right.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of research, I am going to divert myself and say, doing this podcast and doing it the way we have done it, it is so often that we are on microphones recording what we're saying when other things have not fallen into place that they need to fall into place, or things, you know, or we have recorded this year more than ever, we have recorded out of order, and that's weird. But anyway, so we are, speaking of research, this is where I was going with this, and I'm back on track now. We are going to put together a survey. By the time you are listening to this, we have put together a survey. That link to the survey will be with this podcast, knock on wood. And we are very interested in your opinions on things. We want to know, you know, one of the things, something we have always known we would love to do is grow this show and get more listeners, make it more, you get more listeners because it's more valuable to more people. And so it's not purely ego driven to have more listeners. It is, what can we do to be more valuable to more people, or how can we encourage more people to share and bring their colleagues and friends into the listening little family? So it will be a short and simple to take survey, I promise. We would love it if you would check that link out and take that survey for us and help us find a direction that works for you.
And also is obviously something that we care to do and care to talk about, and leans on our expertise and what we bring to the table too. I think that we are both agile and diverse enough people that we can do darn near anything, but we do want to do something that obviously we care about, but more importantly, people want to listen to.
Right.
So,
right.
So we need your help. And thanks in advance to anyone that might help with that.
Yeah. And speaking of thanks, we really appreciate everyone who's listening. And if you have been listening to us for a couple of years or more, you have continued on a couple of different journeys with us. We love it. We love to do new things and bring new people with us. So we very much appreciate you hanging out with us, and we hope you will continue to do that no matter what we do. You can always learn more about us at our website, and that is exclamationcuso.com. You can find all of our podcast episodes at exclamationcuso.com/blog or on your favorite podcast app. So check it out. Let us know what you think.
Yes, please. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, friends, for tuning in. Be awesome, and we'll see you next time.
The Awesomeology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Thanks to Nick Mulliver for sound production and Kylie Ganther for our cover artwork.
Executive producers are me, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.